Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Our loving Lord and Savior, the one I trust is dwelling in each of our hearts, helping us to live in victory as we walk a Christian life. For meditation this morning, the title of the message is How to Succeed in the Christian Life. How many of you are interested in succeeding in life? Especially, how many of you are interested in succeeding in the Christian life? How many of you are succeeding in the Christian life? Some questions that we do well to ask ourselves, how it's going. I believe in all of life, most normal people desire to succeed. If a mechanic is given a job to overhaul an engine, what's his goalpost? He opens that engine up, he tears it down, he puts it back together. You know, when he's torquing the head down, he don't care if he gets it about right or not. He puts that engine back together, what would be the result? Versus if he follows the maintenance schedule and the repair schedule and he does it just right and he starts that engine up, it brings a great deal of pleasure to a mechanic. I'm told I'm not a mechanic, but that's what I hear them say. There's just nothing like once he's finished putting that engine back together, to hear it start up and run smoothly. Mm-hmm. But a nightmare is when the vehicle owner picks it up and he's going out the driveway and the first mile down the road, it blows a head gasket. Is that success? You know, we want success. Our sisters work in the kitchen. They bake a cake. What's the goalpost? That the cake turns out nice. When you're getting the ingredients together and you realize you're a little short in flour and you just, you know, you fill in with sugar, it'll probably be okay. That's not how we do it, is it? Your goal is that you put that cake, you take the right ingredients, you put it in the oven. When it comes out, it turns out just like you'd like it to. A hunter goes to the field, goes to the woods. He has a goalpost. He's hoping to bag something. He's hoping to bring something along home. And that's how we live our lives. And I trust that's how we live our Christian lives. Mm-hmm. How to succeed in the Christian life. What is your goalpost this morning for your life? What is the goalpost for a new Christian as she starts out her life with Christ? It should be the same for every one of us here this morning. How to succeed in the Christian life. What does it mean to succeed? Webster says to succeed is to achieve or accomplish something planned or attempted. To have or enjoy success. Realize a goal. To overcome obstacles. Success is a favorable or satisfactory outcome. That's what success is. And so what is your goal this morning for your Christian life? What are you attempting to accomplish? I trust this morning that our goal is to live in victory, to be victorious over sin, evil, the wicked one, and to someday spend eternity with God, with Jesus. That's our goal this morning. How will we succeed? Can we succeed? Now we know very clearly this morning that we will not succeed in our own power, in our own strength, but we rely on God. God intends for you to be successful in your Christian life. Underscore that this morning. It is God's intention that every child of God would succeed in their Christian lives. Mm-hmm. Added to that, God has provided every needed ingredient, detail, that we can live in victory. Will there be temptations? Will there be challenges? Yes, there will be. But our goal needs to be that we can conclude and say with the Apostle Paul, as he says in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. That's our goalpost this morning. Mm-hmm. That we could finish with joy, finish faithfully, conclude that we have fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith, and that there is a crown of righteousness awaiting us when we get there. A couple introductory passages. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. We'd just like to underscore some encouragement we find in the scriptures that I believe will guide us in helping us to understand what it takes and what God is willing to provide for us to be successful this morning. Joshua chapter 1, I'll read verses 6 through 9. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I should have said, this is God speaking to Joshua after the death of Moses. He has now become the leader of the great company of Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We'll just continue reading there. Isn't that some ingredients for a life of victory for each one of us here this morning and for every child of God throughout the entire world? Be strong and of a good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Observe to do it all. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you're going to have good success. The importance of the Word of God. More on that in just a bit. Be strong and of a good courage, for God is with you wherever you go. Take God with you wherever you go. One of the most important ingredient if we're going to live in victory. Let's go to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 6. Bible scholars recognize this as the armor chapter. Again, reminding us this morning, God wants us to be successful. God intends for every child of God to be successful, and He has provided for us the necessary tools, the necessary things to help us to live in victory. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We could keep right on reading. It'd be well to read the armor verses and how important it is to put on those armors and to be praying, like it says in verse 18. But God wants to provide the necessary armor, the necessary equipment, if you will, what we need to live in victory. The third last book of the Bible, that little book, 3 John. Turn with me there. Just a couple of verses here in 3 John. There's only one chapter. 3 John 2 through 4, especially verse 2. 3 John, verse 1. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. We'll just continue reading there. How are you prospering this morning? What is your level of interest that you would prosper well in your spiritual life? How much concern or interest do you have in your physical health this morning? Aren't we all concerned about our physical health this morning? Yeah. Most normal thinking people give attention to a good diet, good exercise, and whatever it takes to have a healthy body, to be able to enjoy life. He says here, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Where is your greater concern, about your spiritual health or your physical health? Which is the most important this morning? Well, we say our spiritual health is the most important. To which are you giving the greatest heed? Let's be fair and honest with that question. How to succeed in the Christian life? With these foundational scriptures, the encouragement from God, I'd like to look at 10 points this morning. How we can succeed, aids in helping us to succeed in the Christian life. Point number one, confess Jesus as Lord. Confess Jesus as your Lord. That's where it needs to begin. We're glad for new beginnings of Christians. And as I trust, and I know we all believe this morning, that's where we need it to start out, and it's where we need to continue. To confess that Jesus is Lord of my life. I have yielded my life over to Jesus. It's not my life anymore. I live for him in obedience to his word. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We need to confess Jesus as Lord of our life, the one who we have turned to for forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's where it begins, when we have the new birth and we are new believers in Jesus Christ. It's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth that confession is made unto salvation. So I believe every true child of God here this morning has confessed that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God, and has confessed that they want Jesus to be Lord of their life, of their heart, of their thoughts. Confess the Lord Jesus if we are going to succeed in the Christian life. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11 says that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. We're going to live victorious, successful Christian lives. It begins with confessing the Lord Jesus, and it continues with continuing to confess the Lord Jesus. Witness of him, talk of him, confess that he is Lord, and live as though he is Lord of your life. And you can live a life successful for God's glory and for your benefit now and eternally. Point number two, rely on the Holy Spirit. We are so glad for the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been given to the child of God. You know, one is impressed, if you will, as you read through the Old Testament, that men and women of old were able to live in victory without the aid of the Holy Spirit. As we understand the work of the Holy Spirit in the child of God, in the life of the child of God in the New Testament, in our era of time, we are so appreciative of what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. We believe the power of God came upon them, though, and they were able to live in victory. But we are blessed to live in the time when Jesus told his disciples that it was important that he would go away, that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, could come and dwell in their hearts and guide them into the truth of his word. And we are blessed to live in that era of that dispensation of time when we have the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost is empowering the child of God this morning to live a life of success and victory. We believe the Holy Spirit convicts and guides, penetrates the heart of the believer, and guides him in a life of victory and success. Ephesians chapter 5 and 18, verse 18 says that we are to be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. And if you're filled with something, there's no room for anything else, is there? We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God. We need to thank God the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need to be conscious of the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. We need to be conscious of God, the Trinity's presence in our lives. but specifically as we're thinking now of the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, we rely on the power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And to those early believers there in the book of Acts, I believe they felt it. They knew that what Jesus said was going to happen to them happened when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. I mean, they prophesied, and they did a lot of wonderful things. And I trust that even though it may not be as obvious, or however you want to say it, with us in our Christian lives today as it was there in the early church, I believe God worked in mighty ways in the early church to show the transition from the old to the new dispensation. But we believe that the work of the Holy Spirit brings a transformation in the life of the believer and brings power. It's a necessary presence if we're going to succeed in the Christian life. Number three, pray without ceasing. This morning, if you're going to succeed in the Christian life, if you're going to live in victory, you need to be a praying Christian. You need to be connecting to God. You need to be sensing your need of God. And so we come to God in prayer, and we thank him, first of all, for all that he has done for us and all that he has provided for us. And in so doing, we are acknowledging our nothingness and our inability to provide for ourselves. So we have the prayer of thanksgiving, and we have the prayer of supplication, where we ask God for his guidance and his direction and his and for what we need in life and what we feel like we did so desperately need. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 is that short verse, pray without ceasing. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Suggesting there that if you are a praying Christian, if your prayers are going out to God, it gives you strength. It gives you fortitude. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. If you don't pray as you ought to, you will begin to faint in the Christian life. Have you ever fainted physically? It's not a good feeling when it gets dark and then you don't know what happened next and then you come to after a while. You don't want to do that. And you don't want to do that in the Christian life either. You don't want to be fainting in the Christian life. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Point number four, search the scriptures daily. Search the scriptures daily. In them you find direction. In them you find strength. In them you find encouragement and power over sin, over temptation. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. Talks about the noble Bereans here. Acts chapter 17, 10 through 12. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. They loved the scriptures, and they searched them daily to see whether the things that they were hearing, the things that they were seeing, the things that they were being confronted with were really so. How important is it for us to search the scriptures, to gain an understanding of God's ways? Brothers and sisters, this morning, continue to search the scriptures personally. Don't just rely on the preachers and the deacons and the bishop and the Sunday school teachers to feed you the word of God. Search the scriptures yourself. You know, I remember back in the day when Eastern Church was starting, we came out of conference, and we would go to Numidia Bible School and to the conference up there and hear the preaching. And it was emphasized when we as youth went to Bible school, young people, study the word so that you can test what we're saying, whether we are teaching the truth or not. That's what they taught us. And it's so important this morning for every child of God to study the scriptures, to see whether what Pastor Darvin, Lamar, and Nolan are teaching is from the word. Not that we mistrust our preachers, But it's important for me personally to study the scriptures and be convinced in my own mind, you know, what I'm reading, what I'm studying, and how I'm understanding it aligns with what I'm hearing they're saying. And it gives strength and stability and unity. And our preachers and our bishops and our deacons need to know that we are holding them accountable to this word. It's the only safe way. Search the scriptures daily. It'll help you to be successful in your Christian life. It's so important to understand the scriptures personally. Point number five, attend public worship regularly. You know, when I think of all the people around us in society that don't go to church, I feel badly for them. When I think of the inspiration and the encouragement that I get when I gather with God's people, you know, sometimes on a Wednesday, you're busy at work and you're, oh, we got church tonight, we got to make it to church tonight. And you drag yourself in the door and you got there just about in time. And you sit there and you're thinking about all that you could have done at home or whatever it might be. Maybe you all don't go there, hopefully not too frequently. But you sit there and they begin to sing and the brother gets up and having a devotional and then they have a topic and you pray together and you conclude at the end of the service, it was sure good to be here. Mm-hmm. You ever felt that way? Mm-hmm. I hope that's how we feel most of the time when we go out to church. It was good to be there again. Attend public worship regularly. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The importance of public worship, so beautifully outlined in the New Testament. The need for fellowship, Christian fellowship. I need the encouragement of my brothers and sisters. And hopefully it's a two-way exchange. And we can bless each other's lives. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. That word provoke suggests goading. If you know what a goad is that they use for animals, you poke them, get moving. You know, we don't poke each other with a goad, and yet we do. As we share together, as we study the scriptures together, and you see a brother, you see a sister that seems to be down a little bit, we encourage them. We try and lift them up. Lift up their arms, encourage them along the way. Number six, give liberally without grudging. Give liberally without grudging. Now when we think of giving, our minds, our thoughts often immediately go to giving of money and material things. It's much bigger than that. It includes our time, our efforts, our energy. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Are you a cheerful giver of your time, your financial resources, whatever it is that you can give to enhance and help God's program, the program of the spiritual advancement of kingdom purposes? I believe those exercises will help us to be successful Christians as we engage ourselves. Be men and women of God who are engaged, if you will, who are connected with the body of believers, who are active, if you will, in your daily lives. And we'll have some more points in that as we look at our next few points. But give liberally of your time and of your finances. Whatever it is that God has given to you, the gifts that God has given to you, share them. Share them with others to build them up. Help others to be successful in the Christian life. Because our goalpost is heaven, victory. Victory over sin and evil and the evil one. And it's not just for ourselves, but we want to carry us all along. Give liberally without grudging. Point number seven, forget self, live for others. Forget self and live for others. Who is most important in your life? Is it the big I? Is it me? Me first? Let's live for others. Our greatest example, our Lord Jesus, he didn't come to serve himself. He came to serve the needs of mankind, the sinful needs of mankind. He is our greatest example. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 through 28. I'll start at verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the prince of the Gentiles exerciseth dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them, but it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus, a perfect example of one who came to serve the needs of mankind, serve the needs of others. May we follow his good example and accept the privilege and the responsibility to be servants to each other. And it will be an exercise that will strengthen your personal spiritual life. People who bless the lives of others are in return blessed by God and by others. Let's be faithful in this area. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of Christ, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. What are you willing to give? What have you been giving up to bless someone else, to bless another one's life? Point number 8, keep growing in grace. Keep growing in grace. Ephesians 4, 11 through 15. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I call that advancing in the Christian life. Are you advancing in the Christian life? As you keep your eye on your goalpost of heaven and a victorious Christian life, a successful Christian life for God's glory, not in our own strength again, but by his grace and his help and his empowerment and the Holy Spirit. Keep growing in grace, advancing in your Christian life. 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away by the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you a growing Christian this morning? I believe if you're going to be a successful Christian, you need to be a growing Christian. Not at a stagnant standstill. Keep growing in grace. Point number 9. Memorize one verse a day. Is that too high of a goalpost? Memorize one verse a day. I don't know what your individual memory schedule is. I don't know what your family memory schedule is. I've been blessed by being in homes where they have a memory schedule. And as a family, they learn the Sunday school memory selection. Or maybe they select a memory selection that they're working on as a family. Most of us come up pretty short in this area. I'll confess that right here this morning. Yeah, it's embarrassing to me to go into congregations where they have, at the conclusion of Sunday school, it's memory time. Preschool, say your verse, and a little chap gets up and says a verse with a smile on his face. Junior class, and the little junior girl gets up and says her memory verse. Intermediate class, there's a pause, but after a while somebody gets up and says it. Get to the youth class and the pause is longer, but finally someone either says it or reads it. And you get the adult class and it's Quaker meeting. Maybe that It probably doesn't happen here. I don't know. I'm not shooting a gun. But if you're like some other churches, it's kind of how it works. Shame on us, Adams, that we don't do better. And to those of you who are doing great, I'm not scolding you. I think we can all do better in memorization of the scriptures. Is it important? Thy word have I hid in my heart. And the rest of you can finish that. You know that verse, don't you? That I might not sin against thee. You know, it says we have God's word tucked in our heart. Temptations come. God is faithful to bring scriptures to our mind if we put them there. If we read the scriptures, if we memorized. That's a high goalpost. Memorize one verse a day. Do at least one verse a week. Get started there if you're not at least there already. I think of people in my past. I don't know if you all remember Ralph Shank. He was Aaron Shank's brother. He was deacon back there at Rarsburg years ago. He memorized the whole book of Revelation. The whole book of Revelation. Now, he was a premillennial fanatic. Maybe that's what inspired him to do that. But even if I was a premillennial fanatic, I don't think I could memorize the whole book of Revelation. And I'll never be a premillennial fanatic. That's another subject. Number 10, witness to someone daily. Witness to someone daily. That's good exercise. We already looked at that verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Carlisle and Newville and Mechanicsburg and Harrisburg and Shippensburg and Chambersburg and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Witness to someone every day. Is that the way you kick your day off each day? I remember back at Roarsford when I was a little chap, before we would go out and pass out the Star of Hope, what song did we sing, Jerry? Don't remember. Lead me to some soul today. Or teach me just what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find a way. Few there are who seem to care. Anyway, we used to sing that song, Lead Me to Some Soul Today. That'd be a good prayer to start each day out with, wouldn't it be? What's that had to do with being successful in the Christian life? It says something about how enthused you are about the Christian life. Are you so enthused about the Christian life that you want to share it with others, and you want to see others enjoy it who are not already enjoying it? Lead me to some soul today. Witness to someone every day. Let's be living active Christian lives. I believe a successful Christian life is an active Christian life. How to succeed in the Christian life. What is your goalpost? What is the mile marker that you are wanting to achieve? Where do you have your eyes fixed? What is that goal? May it be where we started out, 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. May God bless each one of you here this morning, whether you're new in the Christian life, just beginning, or whether you're feeling like you're approaching the sunset of life. Let's each find ourselves where we are, successfully living the Christian life, living above sin, living for God's honor and glory, not by our own works, but by Jesus' work in our life, the work of the Holy Spirit, and what God has provided. That we can one day experience eternity with him. May God bless you. Shall we kneel for prayer?